This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Dean Martin for you. It's ain't that a kick in the head? Good old Dean Martin. Every time I heard him sing, I don't know, made you feel relaxed, feel good. He had that way about him. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, partner Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, June the 29th already, and lots on the show today. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Catherine Gorka of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk to her about why the teaching of civics in school matters so much, and how both teachers and parents can actually ensure that it is taught in classes. So stay tuned for that. And transgenders scored two big victories yesterday. First off, the Supreme Court let stand the right of a Virginia transgender to use the women's bathroom. And a transgender has won the Miss Nevada contest. Yes, first time. So we're going to get some thoughts about these and other things from the proprietor of the Barber Pole himself, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later on in the show. And have you heard about, we know you've heard about Trump derangement syndrome, right? Now we may have DeSantis derangement syndrome. We're going to talk about that, so stay tuned. And in our ultimate top 10, you ever drive, you know, long trip, and you see these strange names for towns? We're going to give you the strangest town name in every state. We're going to do 10, and then 10, and then 10. You know, we'll just keep doing it. The strangest town names in every state. So stay tuned for that a little bit later. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barber in Tampa Bay for my money, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is on Overcash Drive in the north of State Road 580 Main Street. Great haircut, great price. Open Tuesday through Saturdays. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Always got to plug Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen and Tony. Tony's such a good guy. Let them start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment and all things Clearwater. All right. Well, as we said, there is a lot going on. I want to touch on a couple of things we're going to talk about with Andrew the Master Barber a little bit later on. The Supreme Court yesterday declined to take up a transgender rights case. So it leaves in place a ruling from a lower court that a Virginia public school can allow a transgender student to use the women's bathroom. Now, he's converted, this person has converted to a female, or at least in this case, this is what currently registers, is his gender identity, is a woman. So the justices opted not to hear the case. Comes from the Gloucester County School Board, and there was an appeal to the Supreme Court of a ruling by a Richmond-based Circuit Court of Appeals that this transgender student is protected under federal law, which bars sex discrimination in education known as Title IX. Now, I find it curious that the Supreme Court would not take this up. I really wonder what is behind their thinking. this boy, his name is Gavin Grimm, and they're calling him a boy in this thing, had sued the school board in 2015 after a local public high school refused to allow him. Oh, you know what? I got it all mixed up. It's a woman that wants to be a man, or that gender identity from woman to man. All right. Sued the school board after officials at a local public high school refused to allow him to use the boys' restrooms. And then this guy, Gavin Grimm, said, "We won. I have nothing more to say, but thank you, thank you, thank you. Honored to have been part of this victory." So they didn't take it up. The court order noted that two conservative justices would have taken up the case, Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. So that's kind of an interesting situation. Grimm, assigned female gender at birth, now identifies as a male. He's 22 years old, and he graduated from the school in 2017. So there you go. Now, the other thing, which I found equally interesting, is that for the first time in the history of the pageant, Miss Nevada USA has been won by a transgender woman. Cataluna Enriquez was crowned the winner over the weekend at the South Point Hotel Casino in Las Vegas. 27 years old. He or she had won the Miss Silver State USA pageant in March. She beat 21 other candidates. Pretty interesting. I don't know. Maybe some other states are doing it as well. I didn't know that any state had ever done that before. But so transgenders are moving forward, are they not? And people that identify with a gender different than what they were born with. I mean, you know, your internal organs are going to stay the same. So I guess you can, if you want to be called a person other than your biological, I guess you can. I don't know. Ed, what do you think about Miss Las Vegas being a transgender? Or do you have any thought at all? Sometimes, you know, those transgenders can look pretty good, can't
it's
they?
It's just this, well, yeah. But I don't know. I thought their whole goal was to blend in, not stick out. And to get special privileges and stuff like that. Do you know that there is a credit card company that if you are a transgender and your real name is Bob and you're going as Barbara, that on your credit card, so they don't make fun of you, they will print the name that you want on the credit card, Barbara.
Really?
Yeah. So that people...
Even if you come in dressed as a man?
Correct. I mean, you have to apply for the card, and then, like I said, like a normal credit card, and the name on the card usually has your full name. Well, they allow you to use a name that you're using as a transgender or whatever. So, and they, of course, show somebody walking up with sad eyes and having to cover the name because it's someone dressed as a woman using a card named Bob or Robert, whatever.
Uh-huh. So.
It's just, it's never ending.
It really is kind of never ending, yeah. I mean, I the libertarian in me allows that people should be able to do whatever they want with, if it's not
sure
harming anybody else.
But now we have to have special bathrooms.
Well, that's where
that's
where you can be offending somebody else. See,
right.
That's the thing about that.
Right.
That's why you got to have that case decided, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Why should you offend? There was somebody in a spa. It was a transgender that wants to be a woman or is posing as a woman. And she went in to a female spa, took off her clothes, and offended the women.
Mm.
So that just happened, too. I mean, these are the things that now we're going to go through, I guess.
Mm.
Anyway, we're going to change horses, as they say. We're going to talk about the importance of civics in our schools and bringing back civics in our schools and all the things that have to do with civics teaching in our schools with Catherine Gorka right after these messages.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we are delighted to have Katie Gorka join us. She is Director of Civil Society and the American Dialogue at the Great Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk to her about a piece in the Heritage Foundation, on the website, as a matter of fact, about civic studies, why they matter, what parents and teachers think, and how they can reclaim truth. Katie, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thank you.
Our pleasure. I am so excited or energized whenever they talk about civics. When I was a kid years ago, we had civics in grade school, and that's how we learned about Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence and George Washington and the whole bit. And it was a specific class that was taught. Not that we moved, but a specific course with the book. Now, I wonder, and I've lost touch with most of these schools, but it seems like it's been eased out of so many schools. They don't even want to bring it up. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong, and I think the problem is even where they've kept it, their concept of civics in a lot of cases is not what we would call civics, right? It's this very progressive agenda. You know, we're seeing the growth of critical race theory, something called action civics, which is all about teaching kids to be activists for progressive causes. You know, it's kind of gone, schools have gone a bit crazy as far as what civics is anymore.
Indeed, they have. And so now we talk about the fact that, and you bring up the fact in this article, your organization, that they can help both teachers and parents. Now, we're seeing a lot of parents, or at least we're reading a lot of stories these days about school board meetings and how parents are getting a little bit upset about what is being taught, some of the critical race theory and some of that kind of a thing. And I think this kind of maybe is part of the whole thing. They want kids to know that our country wasn't as bad as a lot of people seem to want to say that it is. And I think maybe civics can help do that. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think we're actually seeing something of a revolution in the country right now. On the one hand, I'm dismayed by how crazy left our schools have gone, both K-12 as well as universities. But I'm also really encouraged by what's happened in the last 6 to 12 months. I mean, it's an unbelievable uprising. I have to call it an uprising. The number of parents that are engaging, that are standing up and speaking out against what's being taught to their children. Now, we hear the most about critical race theory, but there are a lot of other issues that parents are engaging on. In some cases, it's the mask mandates, or in some, it's the schools being closed, or the, you know, pushing the hyper-sexualized content, or the transgender issue. But I think it's the critical race theory that seems to bother the parents the most, because it's so anti-American, and it's anti-person, honestly. It's telling white kids that they're systematically racist and there's nothing they can do about it. It's telling African-American children and other minorities that they're victims and there's nothing they can do about it. And I think parents are up in arms and they are re-engaging in education, which is great news for our country.
Is there more civics being taught, do you think, in private schools than public schools? And if so, why is that?
Well, I think it depends totally on what type of public private schools you're talking about. So I think a lot of the elite private schools have gone as wacky left as anybody. But thank goodness we've got the homeschooling movement, which, you know, personally, I think it's going to save the country. But the other big component you have that's really become increasingly important is the classical school movement. And there they absolutely teach not only civics, but just the whole thinking behind Western civilization, which is at the heart of the American experiment.
Right. I noticed in the article that there was a study, two studies, I guess, commissioned by the Edward J. Fulner Institute, the Heritage Foundation Institute, and it says the core tenets of a renaissance in civics education must include active parent coalitions, giving parents, students, and teachers the framework. I guess that's really, you know, we always used to hear that. You know, parents need to be involved in the PTAs and everything else. When I was growing up, I'll be honest, I don't remember that many parents participated in PTAs, maybe because they thought things were going okay. But now it seems like parents are starting to become a little bit, you know, their antenna are up, which is a very good thing. And so all of this, does it really start in a school board meeting to affect the changes?
Well, I mean, we're really learning as we go along. I mean, I think that obviously that the fight with school boards seems to be very, very important, but actually just over the last, you know, 6 months, I would say there's a whole complex strategy that's evolved. You've got people running for school board. You've got people pushing back on school boards. You've got organizations like Moms for Liberty, which are training moms to be watchdogs on school boards. You've also got a whole number of lawsuits that have been started, you know, because a lot of what this content comes down to is forced speech, you know, forcing people to say things that they don't believe, which is really problematic. But I'm going to go back to this. I mean, I think that, you know, we have to get control back over our schools. Personally, I think in a lot of instances, people have to vote with their feet. If they don't like what their kids are being taught, they should take their kids out of that school. But I think at the same time, you know, parents have to take responsibility for the character formation and the education of their children. I mean, you know, I remember I grew up in the 60s, and I think this really goes back to that time. You know, I think my parents sent us off to school, trusted that we would be taught the right things, and in some ways didn't really feel like they had to have responsibility for education. And I think that's what we're paying the price for today. We can't trust that these schools are going to share the values of parents, that they're going to raise kids to be the kind of kids we want. So I think parents not only have to be pushing back on schools, but they need to be taking responsibility for the raising of their children, the educating and the training up of their children.
Oh, I think there's no question about that. We're talking with Katie Gorka of the Heritage Foundation. She's the director of civil society and the American Dialogue there. And we're talking about a piece Heritage put out, Civic Studies, Why They Matter, What Parents and Teachers Think, and How They Can Reclaim the Truth. Here is the, I don't know, sticky wicket maybe, Katie. What entity should then, let's say that everybody decides, yes, we need to have civics brought back into many schools where it's not being taught right now, or there's not enough of it being taught. So where do we go? What entity do we go to get the so-called real truth about, you know, our country? This is where everything starts to kind of get a little shaky, doesn't it? I mean, you never know. Everybody's got a different perspective on that.
Well, I have to say there's great content out there. I mean, one of the most important ones is the new textbook by Wilfred McClay called Land of Hope. This is a great new textbook, and it doesn't gloss over, you know, the darker parts of our history, and it's an antidote to the Howard Zinn history, so that's really important. That's a great resource. Then there are great organizations, and I'm going to, you know, Heritage is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's just constantly producing content on the Constitution, Bill of Rights, all the founding documents. And you've also got great organizations that are going out there and training teachers. And that's very important, because one of the big problems today is what's happening in the teacher training colleges. They've gone wacky left, wacky progressive.
Wow.
And you've got groups like Bill of Rights Institute, Ashbrook Center, Jack Miller Center. They're getting out and training teachers on history and civics, and that's very important.
Yeah. You know, I've always thought that this is why I'm a big proponent of private schools, not so much public schools, because private schools tend to have to be a little bit more directly responsible to the parents and to the kids. If the parents feel that their kids are not being taught the right things, they can pull their kids out of that school, and it's money that is lost to another place. Whereas in public schools, that, you know, you don't have that direct relationship so close, I guess is the word. And so you don't get that immediate response to how well you're doing. I've never been a big fan of top-down, you know, federal or even a lot of state involvement. I would rather see them. You know, the libertarian in me says, I'd rather see private schools with the parents getting all these different choices, much like, you know, what grocery store you would want to go to. I don't know. Your thought on all of that?
Well, honestly, I mean, the true libertarian solution is actually school choice. You know, the problem with private school is so many parents can't afford private school. And so you don't want to come up with a solution that's not equitable. But school choice, you know, things like vouchers and mm-hmm. educational savings account, that allows more people to vote with their feet. And in the states where those things have been implemented, it's had tremendous success. You know, Florida is done a really great job with that. So I think what we should really be advocating for is but more school choice.
Right. I agree with you on that. Let me give you a general question. I want to, you know, as we wind down our interview, the Department of Education, how good or important is that? Does it really get in the way, you know, with a Washington agency, the Department of Education? I've always wondered how, if it does more harm than good. I mean it.
I personally am a big advocate of eradicating any number of federal institutions, but I personally would probably put the Department of Education right there at the top.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting because where they have intervened, you know, as we would expect, it's had very distorting effects on the country. So I say take the red mark.
Whoop. Are we there with Katie still? Can you hear me, Katie?
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, sorry. We thought we lost you. You were saying, I say take the red what?
I say take the red marker and get rid of it.
Oh, okay. I like that. Katie, you're a very interesting person. I'm so glad we had you on. I hope we can do it again.
Thanks. Been great talking to you.
All right, Katie. Katie Gorka, Heritage Foundation. Hey, by the way, we're going to take a break. Among other things, I'm going to answer a question from the Voice of Reason. You know that show, 10 to 11 a.m., my time, on Thursday? They listen to us. I'm glad they listen to us. So we'll answer their question a little later.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. And if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, we got all our shows on podcast. Bless his heart. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. As long as we're talking about Tan Talk Radio, Ed, we've lost a colleague, former colleague of ours, yeah. Lee Clark. Lee was my board operator.
In the beginning, yeah.
At the beginning, yeah. And a very interesting guy. Mm-hmm. I guess we must have been together for 6 or 7 years. I can't remember for the many years that we, but almost as many as you and me, or maybe about,
yeah, well,
about the same.
I've known him about 15 years, you know, since I was here, so.
Lee was a different kind of a guy. You know, we're all
he danced
unique.
To his own music, basically.
He certainly danced to his own music. You say that he passed away the other day.
Yeah.
He was working at, tell us about it.
He was basically up where the mothership here, and then the other studios in DCF are in Dade City, Zephyr Hills. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically up there just taking care of business up there.
Okay.
Make sure we were on the air up there.
Yeah. How old was he yet?
He was 64.
That's very young.
Yeah.
Very, very young. Yeah. Well, our sympathies to the family of Lee Clark. We will miss him. All right. Well, do you remember when Andrew and I, and Andrew in particular, was talking about the fact that Donald Trump, there was a method for him, a way for him to become Speaker of the House.
Right.
And I said, that's never going to happen. Well, you know what? I'm going to read you something. There may be a possibility.
Mm.
I found this story about it. It says here that it is unclear if Trump will run again in 2024 for the White House, but there's an issue about whether Trump may care to be Speaker of the House when the new Congress begins in 2023. Some of that conjecture started to churn again when the former president held a campaign-style rally in Ohio. Things got stirred up a bit more when House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy appeared to suggest that the former president wanted to be Speaker should Republicans reclaim control of the House, that he might really want to be Speaker. But whether or not Trump could emerge as the Speaker of the House, it raises a very interesting question. Could it actually happen? Well, the bottom line is, you know, you don't have to be a congressman. You don't have to. It says in the Constitution, the House of Representatives shall choose their Speaker and other officers. It doesn't say they have to be congressmen.
Mm-hmm.
Could be somebody that's not even in the House.
Right.
Now, wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, that's going to throw Nancy Pelosi in the real
thick. There we go. I would love to see her hand over the gavel to Donald Trump.
So there's going to be dentures flying everywhere.
So we got the proprietor of the bar, Paul. Andrew, it sounds like there is a chance. What do you think?
Well, again, I've been talking about it.
You have.
Okay, and I got another answer for a question that you brought up yesterday. And I was just discussing it with the governor's father 10 minutes ago about Trump and his son going in a roundabout of who's going to be president. Never going to happen.
Tell me again. Now, what do you mean, Trump and Ron?
Remember when you said that Ron and Trump might go head-to-head for the president?
Oh, yes, I did. I said that there was that possibility, yes.
Well, never going to happen.
Not going to happen. Okay, now tell me why.
I mean, I just talked with his father. I got it right from the
All right, wait.
You're talking about DeSantis.
Yes, we're talking about whether or not...
He's saying Trump and his son.
Well,
Trump and DeSantis. I meant Ron's son.
There you go.
Right. The point is that Ron DeSantis Sr., the father of the governor, and Andrew, and may I say, and myself, are our colleagues and buddies, and we see each other at the barbershop because he comes over. Because Ron Jr. was brought up in Dunedin, mm-hmm. and his father is there. Anyway, so we started talking about the fact on the show that there's a good chance that DeSantis and Trump may be vying for the Republican presidential primary. So it's not going to happen. Tell me why his father thinks that, Andrew.
I imagine it came right from the horse's mouth. Ron and Trump are very good friends.
Okay. So, in other words, one of them would...
But leaning to is what we just talked about, Paul. Is Trump running for Congress.
Do you think he would rather... That he might forego being president just to be in Congress?
Well, Paul, here's what you got to realize, okay? Trump is now, what, 75, 76 years old?
75.
75, okay? And 2024, he's going to be Biden's age.
True.
All right?
Yeah.
Now, even though he's full of piss and vinegar, he's still 78. The country is in trouble, devastated. Right now, you know, the Biden's burying the country, him and the whole Democrat administration. The only way to save it, and if Trump really loves this country, and Ron and Trump are working together to pull it together, you're going to see Trump run for Congress. They will get rid of Biden and Harris. I mean, let's face it, Trump knows a lot about impeachment now.
He certainly does.
And they got enough grounds to get him on right now just with the border. Okay. You'll see them impeached. Trump will be president
okay.
2 years.
Got it.
He will start getting the barrel rolling to bring this country back. And then in 2024, you're going to see Trump endorse the hell out of Ron.
So if I get this right, Trump steps up to the presidency during the first term, the first four-year term, the current term of Biden. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Now, he has to step past Kamala Harris, right? Well, in other words,
well,
we have
both of them impeached. You can get her out of there with no problem now.
Let's impeach. Let's assume we can impeach.
A double impeachment. Why not?
What? Whoa, two for the price of one.
That's right.
Ah, well, it would save money.
You're done.
Nancy's got a lot of extra writing pens we can borrow.
Yeah, that's another thing. She's got a lot of extra writing pens.
Oh, that's what I think you're going to see, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Do you mind if I not bet a lot of money on this one?
That's all right.
Okay.
A lot of money on it.
All right.
I think that's the biggest possibility you're going to see to turn this country around in the midterm.
Okay, so now what does the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, do? Is he going to not run for president?
In 2024?
Correct.
I imagine you will see him run for president in 2024. If the scenario is what I say.
Okay, so...
If it doesn't and Trump does run in 2024, Ron will not run.
So they will not face each other, no matter what.
No,
and,
never going to happen.
And that is the impression you are getting from talking with Ron DeSantis Sr.
That's right.
Okay.
It's like Luke Skywalker going up against Yoda. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're both for the same cause.
Right. They're friends.
You have no idea who Yoda is, do you?
I do indeed.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
I was just checking. I was just checking.
My God, yes. Yoda was sure. He was the all-thinking, all-wise kind of flubbery little Muppet.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you know what Ron and I really laughed at today?
What?
While I was cutting his hair. And I said, you know, Ron.
When he looked in the mirror at your haircut that you gave him, is that when you laughed or what?
We were we were talking, and I says, you know, Ron, everything that your son is doing is common sense. And it's making him great by using common sense. Don't these other politicians know use common sense? Because everything
you are right.
done so far is common sense.
I agree with that. He is very commonsensical. He's a straight shooter. I think that's why he's caught on. That guy, when he gets up there and starts talking, remember the 60 Minutes thing and the way they tried to hammer him on that? I mean, he just seems to... I think he comes across as being true blue. There's something... you know what I mean? He's just like... I get the impression that he's kind of... He comes across as trustworthy.
Well, I think a lot of them start out that way, and then they get hooked up with the money side.
That's true.
You know?
I think his mother would beat him silly.
Probably.
Boy, that would be great.
His mother would beat him silly.
Yeah. That would be great. I got a... speaking about Ron DeSantis... got this story here. DeSantis defended his record on handling the pandemic, saying that if he did not stand up for the continued overreach by the feds, the U.S. as a whole would be as severely locked down as Canada.
He's right.
Poor Canada.
He's right, because he set the example.
Yeah.
Everybody else was afraid to, Paul.
Yeah.
Again, common sense.
Yeah, I think he is that way.
And, you know, he looked at all the bull crap that they were talking, and then he looked at the science. And if Biden, the moron, looks at the science that got his shots and everything, how come he still wears his damn mask?
Well, he doesn't know if it's Tuesday.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So,
I do.
And you know, Ron has come a long, long way. If you remember him when he was first running for governor, he was kind of stiff on that podium. He didn't have that personality that he... He's come a long way, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I think he was good from the start, but I don't. You would know him better than I do, because you've known him for quite a while, right? Not just the father.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you could kind of see the blooming of this guy, as it were.
Phenomenal. From what I see from when he ran from governor until now, you know, like Andrew Gillum was a very smooth talker. During the time where Ron wasn't that smooth. You could tell he got anxious, wanted to jump right in.
Okay.
Now he's got that personality where he's got the confidence in himself of what's going on.
Yeah. He's got a marvelous background.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I mean, he's got a marvelous background. If you look, he's a patriot. He's got a great education. I mean, he's an amazing guy.
And you know, Paul, it was all earned. It wasn't given to him.
Right.
Everything that kid has done has been earned.
That's true. I mean, this is part of why he comes across as being sincere, to me at least.
I mean, if you look at most people in Washington today, all the big wigs that are up there, all your top senators, they were poor little rich kids growing up.
Yeah. I think if he ran for president, I think he'd be like another Ronald Reagan. And, you know, they're two different personalities. But I think he would be very hard to beat. I think people would glom on to his personality.
Well, did you see where the two Democrat nominees that are running each for governor? They're both double digits behind Ron DeSantis.
Oh, of course. I mean...
Double digits. You got Nikki Refried Bean and Charlie Flip-Flop.
You say that so many times, I'm going to forget their last names. But you're right. I mean, he's got it in the... He's got it. You know, I think he's got either one. I know he'll...
This is why I keep promoting. To save this country, you need Trump and you need Ron.
Yeah.
And the best way to do it is let Trump start the fire by running for Congress. Let's clean House. Let's face it, the Speaker of the House has got more power than the President, Paul. Especially when they've got majority in both houses.
Well, I think particularly with this President, who I think is very pliable... In other words, you can mold him the way you want if you really press him. And
Fearless Fly's got more cayunes.
Fearless Fly. I remember Fearless Fly with the big spectacles and the whole bit, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my
goodness. More cayunes than Biden. Yeah. And let's face the facts. The administration we got there now is just tearing this country apart. Mm-hmm. And then they're doing it in 6 months, so you know it's intentional.
Yeah.
Man, look at... And I had to laugh at these damn liberals the other day talking on the radio saying, oh, Ron DeSantis for politics, he's sending, they say he says he's going to send some policemen over to to the border to help out. They say he's probably just going to send the animal control and to make it look good politically. Well, in case they don't know, he sent over 50 police officers.
By the way, we're going to talk about that whole thing with Ron and sending people over in the border. We're going to answer a question from the Voice of Reason, one of your favorite shows, Andrew.
Tell him it wasn't the dog catcher.
Okay. Hey, I got
there's a bunch of other governors, too, that sent policemen over there to help out, because Biden and Kamala Harris don't send nothing. All they're worried is they want more moron little voters in this country with their hands out to vote for this idiot.
Yeah, well, they want takers. There's no question. There is now something called DeSantis derangement syndrome.
Oh, yeah, I saw that last night. It's beautiful.
Isn't that something
it's
now?
Beautiful. You know, these liberals could be deranged so easily.
They can, can't they?
So easy. You know what? They got no
it drives
brains.
Them crazy.
And that, they spit on their brains, believe me.
Is that kind of like Trumpophobia?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
It's the same disease.
All right.
They fear the person because they can see the power in the guy and his ability to persuade other people.
You know, I think it is.
That's it.
I think it's actually jealousy.
Yeah.
People are so weak and feeble-minded that they're jealous.
Jealous, they are jealous.
There's somebody that's got it together. They're nothing but a bunch of losers.
And somebody that's been successful. Trump and DeSantis have been successful.
That's what I'm saying.
And people don't like,
successful people.
A lot of people envy and are jealous of your ability to become, let's say, just more whatever than they are. Yeah.
That's it.
No question about it. All right, my friend. I'm just I want to salute you because there's that possibility, indeed. The speakership for the Donald.
Been talking for a long time, Paul, and I do see a lot of things that do happen here.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, you predicted Trump would be president,
and I lost a lot of money
on that one a long time ago.
And I'm still waiting for this Arizona recount to come out, too. Something was supposed to be out yesterday, but again, it didn't happen.
Well, either that or the second coming. I don't know which will come first.
We're going to find out. Okay. I believe they're both pretty close, to be honest with you.
You might be right. Thank you, Andrew.
All right.
And we'll talk to you again on Friday. All right.
You got it, buddy. Bye-bye.
There he goes. My goodness. All right. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we're going to answer a question from our friends at the Voice of Reason, and we're going to give you the strangest names in every state.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we want to answer a question from our buddies over at the Voice of Reason, which is every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ed Golly has brought a question to our attention. He says, seems I've heard both Paul and Andrew, the master barber, claim Biden has, quote, opened the border, unquote, which implies that Central Americans and Mexicans are simply coming in and taking up residence without any effort by ICE to stop them. If that is the case, then why is DeSantis sending members of the FDLE to the border? Are they going to just stand there and watch the illegal aliens come in? Well, here's the deal. The Biden administration has intentionally stopped the work that was being done to secure the border by the former president, Donald Trump. Remember, he was building that wall? Do you remember that, boys? And Biden ordered that that be stopped and the funding be pulled away from that. And all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, how many illegal people are pouring through our borders? Hundreds of thousands. We are having more people coming through that border illegally than we have had in 10 years. In 10 years. So something happened, and it looks like the Biden administration is allowing it to happen. Now, Texas Governor Greg Abbott is vowing to do what he claims Biden is refusing to do. He is going to try to start building a wall in Texas, a fence, whatever you want to call it. And Governor Ron DeSantis is more than willing to send people over there to help in Texas, to help Governor Abbott secure the border. If you take a look at the Constitution, gentlemen, and I'm referring to Ed Gawley and Mr. Reinhart, the co-hosts of that show, if you take a look at the Constitution, one of the major responsibilities of the federal government, there's only a handful of things they're supposed to do. One of them is to provide for the common defense of our country. Well, that includes our borders. So they have the ultimate responsibility of protecting our borders. And protecting our borders means you don't let people come pouring into your country and you don't know who the hell they are. They could be terrorists, drug dealers, criminals, murderers, rapists.
Drug cartel.
Drug cartel. And they are coming in.
Mm.
And then you say, well, most of the people are good. Sure, most of the people are good. But a lot of them are not good.
And those get a free ride in a free hotel room for 6 months.
Then they get the free stuff when they get in here,
yeah,
too. And then they say, well, we need those people because other people won't do other jobs. Yes, they will do other jobs. Stop with that one. That we need to have people come in because they'll work for less money. Listen, we don't need people to come in to do that kind of work. We've got our own people that can do that kind of work. So anyway, why is DeSantis sending the people over there to help the governor of Texas restore some semblance of order and security to the chaos that the Biden administration is responsible for by not doing their job? I hope that that...
And basically, Biden did his first few days in office, did say that the border was open, basically, because he gave that vibe to the people in Guatemala and places like that. Honduras, wherever it was.
Yeah.
And they came pouring in, and Kamala had to actually go down there with money to give them money to stay where they were, where they are.
By the way, she didn't go to the real border.
Well, they
went to a building.
I know, her plane flew over it, though.
Yes.
They didn't slow down, but they did fly over it.
Yeah.
I think she took a selfie.
She got the hell out of Dodge, well, in this case, wherever she was, El Paso, as soon as she could, by the way. I think the plane never turned off. She wanted to get back on and get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So to Ed and Joe, and by the way, we should have one or both of them on our show again. I'd be willing to go on their show again to answer any of these questions. But, you know, we got to get back to the fundamentals of why we've got a federal government in the first place. I think we lose sight of that. Anyway... Before we get, real quickly, I got off on that. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, game one of the Stanley Cup last night, your thoughts?
You were worried.
Boy, it was...
Well, I tell you, last night was exactly what I hoped the Lightning would do, play their game, skate, hit when they needed to hit, and Vasi be just unbelievable behind the net, or in front of the net, rather. The only goal they scored was a ricochet off two pairs of skates. Then made it in, but a lot of blood in the game last night.
There was.
Yeah.
That player went down, his helmet came off, and he hit the head, his head on the ice.
Yeah.
So the final was, what, 4-1?
Yes.
And I was never, did you think I was worried somehow about?
You sounded a little worried.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, okay. I think, I don't want to put any curse or anything. I think the Lightning are clearly the better team.
I honestly think they've faced two teams that are better than the Montreal Canadiens. But and the New York Islanders and the Florida Panthers.
I would not disagree with you. I think we might have had kind of a top heavy conference of our
own. And it is going to be a big, you know, it's going to be a big factor. The fact that the Amalie Arena was packed last night, of course, not to capacity once again. I don't know what the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 16,000 instead of 20. But when they go home to Montreal for theirs, you know, Canada's still on lockdown. They're only going to allow about 2,500 fans into this.
That's sad.
They are just, and we had Pryor Smith on, who does Canada Calling, and Pryor Smith, 70%, said 70% of Canadians have had the first shot.
That's a high number.
That's a very high number.
You would think they'd be a little bit more open there.
They don't have the one-and-done shot by Johnson & Johnson.
All right, Thursday is our next game, right?
No, Wednesday.
Today's Tuesday.
Yes. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday. And then Friday.
And then Friday.
Okay, I got it figured. I got a little Bidenitis from time to time. I apologize. All right, it's time for
our top. Get Kamala Harris here to get you back on track.
Time for our top 10. We're going to do it differently, Ed. We're going to go state by state.
Okay.
In alphabetical order of the states. These are the top strangest names per state, all right, of towns. Here we go. Number one. Alabama, actually, and their most interesting name is Scratch Ankle, Alabama. Scratch Ankle. You ever been to Scratch Ankle, Alabama?
No.
It's an itchy place to be. Okay. All right. All right. Number two. It's Alaska, second state.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken.
Chicken? Chicken Alaska?
Chicken Alaska.
That sounds like a baked dish.
Exactly. I was going to say Baked Alaska would have been a better name. All right. Drum roll for Arizona. Catfish Paradise. Catfish Paradise, Arizona. All right. Drum roll for Arkansas. Oh, my goodness. Toad suck. Toads.
You had to tell somebody
Toad suck, Arkansas. What?
You telling somebody that your address, and they're like,
toad
what?
Toad suck. T-O-A-D, toad
well,
suck.
Well, toad suck to you, too. Goodbye.
All right. All right. Drum roll for California. Mormon Bar. Mormon Bar, California.
Surprise me.
I guess only a certain religion inside there having a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Colorado. Parachute. That one I buy.
Okay.
With all the Rocky Mountains and everything. Parachute.
Yeah, maybe they make parachutes there.
All right. Next one is Connecticut. Moose Up.
Moose Up.
Moose Up. M-O-O-S-U-P.
Not Moose Down.
No,
moose
it's
up.
Moose Up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7. We got 3 more. All right, next one. Delaware. Flea Hill. F-L-E-A. Don't think I'd want to live in that town.
No.
And I wouldn't want my dog to be wandering around there either. All right. Florida is next. All right, Ed. Have you heard of this one? Spuds.
Spuds, no.
Yeah, Spuds, Florida.
I thought we got a lot of coochies around here. With La Coochie, Hoochie Coochie.
Yeah, we do. And, yeah. You're right. And those are kind of Indian names. Yeah. But this is Spuds, Florida. Kind of a potato sound, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's...
Is that it?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got one more. Georgia. Real quickly. Georgia is flipping. Flipping Georgia.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Stay tuned for Patsy with a Z. This time she really will be on after the news. I'm Paul Malloy. Back Friday. Remember, freedom works.